السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, and nowadays also our sisters who listen over the receivers. We are discussing the verses of Surah Mu'minun. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving us the sifats and the attributes of those believers whom Allah Ta'ala says have succeeded. They have obtained falah. Although the complete falah and success will be in the akhirat, but even in this world Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them success. It is a different kind of success which we may not be able to understand, that sometimes the outside conditions seem as if they are of defeat, outside conditions seem as if they are of suppression and oppression. Outside conditions may be of poverty, of sickness, of weakness, but there is success if that person is obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then there's khair in everything that happens from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have discussed to some aspects of the first part of this verse, in which Allah Ta'ala says that one of the sifats of those mu'minun is that in their salat they are khashi'un. They have got humility, they are humble. They've got khushu in their salat. The second part that we discussed is that when there is anything that is futile, whether it is futile speech or futile, absolutely useless, waste of time action, then these believers, they turn away from it, they move away. They do not engage themselves in it. They do not throw themselves into those talks or those actions which are futile and useless. I explained this at length last week. Then we go on to the next part of this verse, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that they are those who give their zakat, or should we say that they make the amal of zakat. Now this zakat here means two things. One is the zakat which we know, that the person has got a certain amount of money, gold, silver, cash. Then there is a nisab of zakat, and there is a certain amount that the person has to give as zakat. But in this ayat, the majority of the mufassireen, they say that it refers to the purification of the soul. That this zakat, because zakat means purification, and it means the purification of our souls. But before I go to that, Alhamdulillah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must reward those brothers who have made sincere tawbah from indulgence in certain kinds of futile and useless activities. And not only that, But those activities or those actions which we will term as not only futile but totally haram and forbidden. I mentioned certain incidents without names as lessons for myself and for others. One young person, he writes, he says that, "Maulana, I am only 17 years of age and I have two sisters. I will not give their ages because then somebody might come to some conclusions." So the person says that your talk on Friday, it had such an impact on me, because in our home, when the Sunday paper comes, he says, "I used to take the comic section first and read through the comic section. My father used to take the main section and he used to take a long, long time over the last pages of the Sunday Times." He says, "My young sisters and myself, we used to wait for the paper to come to us. After having spent considerable amount of time, what he used to see, Allah Ta'ala must make him maaf too. But he says, then it used to come to us. And then in the same lounge, we used to all read. He says, but I at least have made up my mind that I am not going to indulge in this sin anymore." Alhamdulillah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them hidayat. But this is the point that I'm trying to get across, that if this is going to be the role model of the house, children look up to the father, they look up to the mother, they should be setting the example. Now if the parents are going to be indulging in this kind of action, shameless, obscene, filthy pictures, if they are going to be glued to it, then what kind of nasihat they will be able to make to their children? All the time we are blaming the children. But we have to look at ourselves, those who are fathers and those who are mothers, that what kind of example are we putting forward? So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that liz zakati fa'ilun. In another verse Allah Ta'ala says, qad aflaha man tazakka wa zakara isma rabbihi fasalla. So this tazkiyah, it was one of the duties of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one of his functions was to make tazkiyah of the qulub, which we all take for granted these days. We are all concerned about our zahir. Our outward must be good. And I have repeatedly said this, that Shariat itself says that you must be neat, you must be clean. It makes ghusl wajib on so many occasions. And Shariat insists that when you go to the masjid and when you go to gatherings, then your clothes must be pak, must be pure, clean from impurities when you make salat. And on other occasions too, after the person has finished his work, where the clothes could become soiled, then he should change and be neat. Shariat emphasizes on neatness and purity. But it is not just the zahir that has to be clean. The purification of our hearts, hum liz zakati fa'ilun. We have to purify this heart. It is also farz. Just as namaz is farz, roza is farz, zakat is farz, hajj is farz. In the same way, to purify these hearts of greed, of malice, to purify these hearts of arrogance, of pride, to purify these hearts of jealousy, of envy, to purify these hearts of these filthy habits, it is also farz. So many of us, we are namazis, we'll make hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah. But if we have to just cast a glance into our hearts, then we will realize that how much of filth and how much of dirt there is in that heart, as a result of which we do not seem to be really getting this connection with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we do not consider these things as farz. Besides the namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, there are many other things which are also farz. The muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is also farz. The muhabbat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also farz. It is compulsory. If we have the love of Allah Ta'ala but we don't have the love of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you think that person can go to Jannat. گر نہ سن لے آلہ ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں، گر نہ سن لے آلہ ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں، شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے، شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے، آپ کا عشق ہو قلب و جان میں، شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے، آپ کا عشق ہو قلب و جان میں. It is one of the conditions of توحید that the love of Rasool Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be in our hearts. So now we will say that that is also farz, the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to that extent that it makes us restrain ourselves from that which is haram and do those things which Allah and His Nabi Alaihi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have ordered. It is farz. If we do not have that kind of love, then there is no such thing as entry into Jannah, or it may be delayed entry if there is a deficiency in that love. Sometimes there is love, but there is a deficiency in that love. So then there will be delayed entry. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that these people, this is one of their sifats, that they purify their souls, they purify their hearts. Because that heart which is filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, then this person will be a problem case for the entire ummah of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The person whose namaz is excellent, but his heart is filled with pride, his heart is filled with malice and greed, then this person, wherever he is going to travel, or with whomsoever he is going to travel, he is going to be a problem for his companions. And if he is going to be in his home, then he is going to be a problem for his wife and children. This person with arrogance and with pride and with greed and with envy and jealousy is going to be a problem for his wife, for his neighbors. He will be a problem for the clients and customers of his. He's going to be a problem for everyone because he's got no control, he's got no discipline. So this purification is also one of the sifats, that these believers, they purify their hearts from all these different evil actions and deeds. We will come and discuss that inshallah again later. We go on to the next part. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Now this is something, as I mentioned last week, it is a scourge of our society. Every day, wallah, without fail, every day we get cases where the major cause of the breakdown of that marriage or the major cause of the problems is the illicit love relationship, either of the husband or the wife. From a town outside Natal, so that you don't speculate. This morning, wallah, this morning, I'm in the masjid, I'm with wuzu, and we are going to be making salat just now. The person says that my wife, she admits that she already had 3 affairs with her doctor. Now what do? I've got 3 children. I love her, I love my children, but I don't think I will be able to accept this, and at the same time I will not be able to divorce her too, because I love my children. And we see what it leads to. When the people are going to indulge in zina, then there will be major problems. The whole society, there is nothing else there. If you go to the bazaars, the marketplaces, and if you go anywhere else, schools, colleges, universities, there is an invitation towards zina, zina, zina. That is why in these days, without wazifas, we can become the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Without reading plenty of tahajjud, ishraq, and chasht, and awwabin, and without reading too much of wazifas, a person can become the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if he can only control his gaze and he can control his heart. I mentioned in one majlis some time back They're dealing with different types of cases. And why do I bring this to your attention? Because just as so many others are making tawbah from other sins, we too may become a little alert that there are women who are admitting that they have carried and borne the children of the husband's friends. And they want to know now, Maulana, what do we do? We have made tawbah, but these children are growing up. And I know fully well that I slept with this husband's friend of mine on how many occasions. Still, the person says that we must be broad-minded. We still say we must be broad-minded. We must socialize. Our wives must shake hands and kiss and meet our friends. They must party together. They must swim together. And afterwards they don't know whose child, who is carrying. Akbar Allahabadi said a beautiful thing. Parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla. Parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla. Jisko samajhte the hum beta, wo bhatija nikla. Parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla. Jisko samajhte the beta, wo bhatija nikla. How dangerous it is even when there are brothers, the wife's brothers, or the husband's brothers meeting freely with the wife. We say he's a brother-in-law. How many cases we have got of this nature, of involvement of brother-in-laws with the sister-in-laws. So much so that nowadays we are getting so many phone calls. Wallah, I'm not speaking a lie. It hurts me. It's hurting. It's a deep pain that is on my heart. And I can't resist it now, but to say it openly in the masjid. We are receiving calls. Maulana, what do I do? My father-in-law's dirty looks and my father-in-law's advances, how do I resist? And some have even gone further than that. Now still if we say that no, we must be broad-minded, well then remain broad-minded, but then do not tears of blood afterwards. It's going to be too late. Let us apply Sharia in our lives. There will be a protection of our own iman, the chastity of our daughters and our women, and there will be peace and sukoon and happiness in the family lives. If not, there's going to be war and destruction in every home. It is like wildfire. It is the TV culture, or whatever culture you can call it. Because as far as the Western world is concerned, if there is a consenting couple, then it is not a crime to commit adultery, as long as the couple are consenting couples. And that is not Sharia. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even go close to zina. Sometimes they say that why is it that there is so much of emphasis on lowering the gaze? Because that is where it all begins with. One father came complaining about his young son who fell in love with the father's secretary. So I asked him a simple question, that who is it that employed that secretary? Who is it that employed that secretary? If she was dressing up in that manner that caused your son to fall in love with her, and now she's a non-Muslim and he wants to marry her, then who is the cause of that? He is to see you sitting alone with her in the office. So why create those situations where afterwards we hold our heads and then we say that somebody did jadu? Nobody did jadu. It is shaitan that did jadu on that person. That when the passions are running without control, then the person loses his intelligence also. He doesn't even think for a moment at that time. from Muslim schools. A young student who now has given up his bad habits. He says, Maulana, without fail, every weekend we used to be in Amplanga, where prostitutes were hired. Brothers, if a person is a namazi, making 5 times namaz, and if somebody has to talk about namaz, and about the punishment of those who do not make namaz, then it's not going to hurt that person who is making salat. Because he will say that I am making salat. The person who is giving his zakat, then if somebody has to talk about the punishment of those who do not give zakat, then it's not going to hurt him because he is giving zakat. But the moment it hurts us and we feel a knock on our heart, then we must make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that some weakness of ours and some sickness of ours and some disease of ours is being pinpointed. So we should straight away listen, what is the cure for it? We should not get offended. We should try and find out now, what is the cure? If a person is suffering from sugar, then the moment somebody is talking about a cure for that, then he listens carefully, what is the cure? What is the diet that I must adopt? If somebody is suffering from cancer, and someone is talking about cancer, then straight away he wants to listen, that what can I do to prevent it from spreading? That is human nature, that anything that's for our benefit, we want to listen to it. So what else has brought us here for this Jummah Salat, except that we have believed in Allah as our creator, and we have believed in Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our Nabi, and that we have believed in the Quran and the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is on their orders that we came to Salat. We came for this salat. If Allah Ta'ala did not order, we would not have come. So it shows that there is iman in our hearts. There is that love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also in our hearts. But there is a deficiency if we are going towards haram and it is not causing us any kind of pain in our hearts. It's not causing any kind of restlessness in our lives. The indulgence in sins, if it is bringing happiness, then it is a very dangerous trip. It is just like that person who is sick and who is ill and is quite happy about it. If he's got cancer and it is spreading and is quite happy, then we will say there's something wrong with that person. So when I'm expressing these sentiments, or when I'm conveying to you these incidents, wallah, it is not because I consider anybody as inferior to myself. It is only with this niyat that Allah Ta'ala must give me, give them all a connection with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we all must enjoy that happiness, peace and security. So now this person says that that was our lifestyle. And yet we are doing Quran, we are doing hadith. How many verses of the Quran Sharif we have heard? How many hadiths of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam we have heard? How many lectures and waaz and nasihats we have heard? Why is it that we cannot just take that step forward and say that enough is enough before our children start getting AIDS? Sexually transmitted diseases are on the increase in every country. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when there's going to be indecency and when there's going to be shameless and obscene actions in this ummah, then Allah Ta'ala will cause the ummah to be involved in such sicknesses and diseases which their forefathers never even heard of. We can see that the moment after billions of dollars have been spent, and when they seem to be just about coming to grips with some sexually transmitted disease, they say they have found some kind of cure or some kind of vaccination, just then you will find another 10 kinds of sicknesses surfacing. And they will say, now start spending a few billion dollars again in researching. But these stupid, foolish people, they do not know that Allah Ta'ala is the creator of man. And if you are going to disobey Him, and if you are going to transgress those limits, then Allah Ta'ala is the one who sends down those diseases. It comes in the society. Otherwise, where were these diseases all this time? If we say that AIDS is a sickness, which only takes place because people are sleeping with different women. So then, in the past, before Shariat limited the number of wives to 4, a person had 10 wives, 15 wives, 20 wives. And after Shariat limited it to 4 also, there are many people who have got 3 wives and 4 wives. But if both of them lived a chaste life, then we never heard of AIDS over centuries. So it shows it's an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which comes. Then of course when the azab comes, like if the fire catches on, then the homes of innocent people will be burned too. So innocent little children after that also get affected. Mothers get affected. So many others get affected. When the azab comes, then everybody gets affected. On the day of Qiyamah, then they will be separated. But the major cause of this AIDS today, we know what is the major cause. So there is no other solution to the AIDS problem and all other problems except getting back to finding out what is my Creator pleased with and what is He displeased with. Because the time is limited, we cannot really conclude the subject. Inshallah, we will continue. But at least let us make up our minds that if this socializing and this kind of partying and this kind of get-togethers where the husbands and wives or friends are all shaking hands with each other and dancing and merrymaking, if it is not going to stop, then we will have to be prepared for what is happening. How many parents will then not know whether that child is legitimate or not? When those children will grow up after that, then again the parents will hold their heads and cry. So let us apply Sharia in our lives. It is a little difficult in the early days or early stages, but after that it becomes easy. If you make it known that this is my now decision, if the husband's friend has come and there is no one at home except the wife, then he must be told that your friend is not here, so don't sit in the lounge and wait here because I am alone in the house. The wives must make it known. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah ta'ala assist and help the mujahideen of Islam all over the world, and especially again in Palestine. We know that the tanks have rolled in and the bombs and the helicopters and everything is once again back to square one. So make a lot of dua for them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must help them, assist them, and Allah ta'ala must protect Masjid al-Aqsa and all other parts of the world to wherever the Muslim Ummah is suffering. Allah ta'ala must remove their suffering and bless them with the best of dunya and akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.